Is sneaker culture bored? We're going to talk about that this time on Fire Footwear. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Fire Footwear. It's been a couple of weeks. I hope that you all had a great Thanksgiving. And I hope you're looking forward to the holiday season. Obviously, if you don't celebrate Christmas, this is still a time of year to take some inventory at the end of the year. 2025 has been a hard year for a lot of people. It's definitely been difficult for me for reasons that go far beyond just this podcast. But either way, I'm happy to be healthy. I'm happy to be alive. And honestly, I'm happy to have the family that I have the friends that I have, and have the support of all of you. Even during this trying time, and even during a time in which it feels like sneakers are kind of down in terms of topics to talk about, you all have still stayed with me, and that definitely makes me feel a way. It definitely hits me right in the feels, as they would say, and it makes me want to keep going. But I want to talk about a couple of things as we get toward the end of this year, and we were meant to have a guest to talk about Sneaker of the Year. It may still happen. It may not happen. I can't decide if it's going to happen yet because, quite frankly, I'm tired at the end of this year. I want to spend some time with my family. I want to recharge. And I've been having fun making content in other areas, but I want to talk about the idea of boredom in the culture. So I want to ask a fundamental question as we lead up to this. I want to ask, what makes a sneaker year objectively a good year? I've seen a lot of commentary about 2025 being one of the best years in sneakers in a very long time, if not ever. What has 2025 been defined by? It's been defined by unending retros, and not just any retro, but rare retros. In a lot of ways, this started in 2024, the Wu-Tang Dunks, and we now have Undefeated 4s, we've seen Tokyo 5s. There have been a lot of silhouettes, a lot of colorways that have come out this year that people thought they would never, ever have a chance to obtain. To me, that has been the very definition of 2025. And on top of that, we've seen an even further resurgence, a dive down the road of runners. And not just ASICs, but all different kinds. New Balance, ASICs, John Geiger's model, Adidas with the jellyfish. There have just been so many runners and so many silhouettes like that that are both fashion and function at the same time. That's really been the definition. But a lot of people who say this is the best year ever, I always wonder what their criteria is. And I wonder if it has to do with shoes that they specifically are interested in. When you're trying to rate a year, is it about the hype that's associated with the shoes that are coming out? Do these shoes have to have a place in the culture? Does the culture have to be buzzing and social media talking about them? Does it have to be that they're selling out? Do shoes have to sell out in order to be considered cool? Does it have to be that people are talking about them? That's why I ask. And also, do the shoes that come out, do they have to be considered for Sneaker of the Year? Are they something that has to be at the highest of highs for a year to be good? I remember last year listening to some podcasts around this time talk about how 2024 wasn't a good year in sneakers. I wonder why that's the case. Is it because we don't have super rare things? Is it because we don't have collaborations that were good? Is it a mixture of all of these things? But I wonder for you specifically whether that's the case. And if you want to reach out to me on Instagram, at Matt Freights Creates is the handle to do that. Send me a DM. Let me know what makes a particular year good from your vantage point. But now that we're talking about the end of this year, I think if you look at this year, it has been a good year, but there's also been elements of it that have been sort of negative. At the beginning of the year, a whole year ago, we were talking about the Bred Jordan 1s around NBA All-Star Weekend. And the exclusivity of those was something that I had talked about on Instagram, and I think I talked about it even on YouTube, about the fact that I felt like that particular shoe, that particular colorway of the Jordan 1 had such a special place in the culture that it should have been made available. Something like that that furthers the history should be made available. It was so limited, and now guess what? They're going to be releasing it in mass coming up soon. And doesn't that take away from the entire point of the NBA All-Star Weekend? It's fabricated hype. I don't like that. With the Undefeated 4s, that's a shoe that was super, super rare. And what they did was they made it widely available. And so many people were able to get them. I love that about the culture. Unfortunately, it wasn't all good. There were obviously stories about Cool Kicks. There was 2J's Kicks. All of those things that had a lot to do with resale, had a lot to do with stolen goods. people not being paid for their resale purchases or their resale sales. And that to me is just, those are all the negative parts of the culture. But if I'm objectively looking at this year, I think that it has been good because I've seen a lot of happy people. Social media to me has been more positive than it's ever been. And I think that's because there have been so many opportunities to get something that people wanted. The ability to get something that you want and feel like there's a realistic chance of being able to get it, to me, means that things are healthy. I understand that availability is sort of the antithesis of hype, as my friend Kari would say. And I feel like, despite that, I think availability is great because it keeps people wanting to stick around. Yes, there is definite value to exclusivity in that you're driving legitimate hype. And the more hype there is, the more people are involved. But I think one thing that has happened that isn't accounted for in some of this is the fact that these people who came in, who are casual people, who really aren't about the actual culture, they're about what the culture can give to them. I think many of those people have faded away from this because there isn't as much profit to be made with resale. There isn't as much clout to gain when you are able to get a shoe and sell it or even wear it. And I think that some of that leads to there being a downfall or a perceived downfall in the culture. But I also think that in a lot of ways, that's a good thing. I love seeing the content creators that I know be able to talk about so much, be able to cop shoes and make reviews and talk about them with other creators. I like seeing that. I'm not somebody who cops at the same volume as many other people that I know, and that doesn't make me better or worse. It's just where my life is. This year has been a lot about purchasing other items besides shoes that help me further my content journey. Lights, lenses, things like that. And so that's where a lot of my money has gone when it comes to my own personal spending. I also have a family to provide for. I also have a house to keep up. So there's a lot of different factors that go into that. And one of the things that I have done for myself that has really made every year so much more palatable is I have a finite amount of shoes that I really, really want. And you know what's actually happened? I've actually been able to get almost all of them. I think the lone exception this year were the Black Cat 4s. And the Black Cat 4s recently sold out and had a restock that also sold out. Kind of crazy the way that that went because of how expensive they were in 2020. And now 5 years later, you kind of wonder if people felt the same way. Clearly, they feel the same way because it's really sold out. That's the only shoe that I haven't been able to get. It's made it so that I don't feel as disappointed. I've gone out for less, and I feel like my success rate has been higher, and so I felt a lot more satisfied. Granted, I can't make as much content about the actual shoes, and that's part of why some of the topics have been sort of escaping me, but I feel like it's less quantity, but hopefully better quality. I want to switch to a topic now that I talked about in a reel when the news dropped, but I want to talk about it here a little bit more in depth. And that was the news that Sneakers, or the Sneakers app, was going to be doing Sneakers Code. Sneakers Code is a new program by Nike that is hoping to drive people outside or get people excited because it's allowing people secondary activities that are going to allow them the opportunity to get shoes that they really want. They just debuted it with the Air Force One Kobe, and I don't know how people actually feel about it, but I do have thoughts on this. Sneaker culture, a lot of times, is being at the right place at the right time. Back in the day, it was being available or at a store and being able to get there to get in line to get your pair. Today, it's being online at whatever store or whatever app is selling the shoes that you want on time in order to be able to get in line, get in queue, and get the shoe that you want. There's a lot less of a tangible element these days because you don't have any real control over where you are in the queue. Back in the day, when you were in person, you could pay people to move forward. There's like jockeying for position, things like that. They don't have that anymore. While Saturdays are typically release days, releases happen Monday through Sunday. Any day is on the docket for when a shoe can actually come out. And a lot of times when shoes come out in the middle of the week, it puts people who have day jobs at a disadvantage. Now, in today's online world, of course, it means that you can get on your phone and try to get something. But let's say that you have a job in which you have meetings and you're distracted. I know so many people that that's happened for. You end up missing a release, and it is what it is unless you're able to get somebody to help you out or you're able to pay the resale price. But the idea of this Sneakers Code is that you are going to have the ability to get these codes and essentially do a scavenger hunt to different places, whether it's online or in person, to be able to go and have the opportunity to find the shoes and be able to buy them for yourself. When I think about that in the context of my own life, I think, I don't think that that works for me at all. And I wonder who that model is actually for. And I would be genuinely curious, if you're listening to this and you have the ability to comment somewhere, let me know that this is something that could work for you. But if it's a Tuesday, if it's a Wednesday, in the middle of the day, and Nike Sneaker says, oh, in Washington, D.C., you can go to this place, put in this code, and you'll be able to go to the next clue. I'm not going to be able to or want to leave work in order to do that. And I wonder who would be able to do that. What demographic would be able to do that? If it's during the school year, somebody who's in high school, you're in school, their parents, they're at work. If you're a young adult and you have a job, you could actually be on the job somewhere. That's why I wonder, who is this model for and what is it trying to do? And when I thought about it, I realized what it's trying to do is it's trying to come up with a way in 2025, almost 2026, that is getting back to getting outside. Getting outside is a term that I think if you're under a certain age, you have no idea what that means. It certainly has a meaning in today's society in that get out of your house and get outside, touch grass, you hear a lot. I think that's also important. But in sneakers, the idea of getting outside is not ever going to come back in the way that it used to be. You had no choice back in the day but to go to a store, to take a gamble, to go on tips that you heard, to get to a store to try to get the shoe that you want. Hopefully you had prior relationships with people who worked there, you were able to get a pair set aside, all those different jockeying of positions or political elements to getting a shoe that you want. Can you refabricate that today? I'm not sure that you can. And I think sneakers doing this, this sneakers code thing, it makes me feel like Nike really has no idea how to tap into this culture in a way that's going to keep the hype at an all-time high. They're trying to do that here for sure, but I don't know if it's the proper way. I think it feels like a misguided way to get people excited. Let's just think about the demographic or age demographic for a minute. What do you think the sweet spot is for the age range in sneakers? I would say it's early 30s to mid 40s, just because of the fact that Jordans are 40 years old now, and you think about the age range of people who can afford this in the way that we afford it now, and I feel like that's really where the sweet spot is. Are a lot of those people going to be hyped about having to go and put a code in somewhere, have to go to some place and find some hidden clue somewhere? Is that something that the culture is looking forward to? I mean, there certainly are going to be people that will look forward to it, but is this something that can last long term that is going to create this sort of hype around, ooh, a new sneakers code is coming out this week. Let's make sure that we're out there to get it and participate. I talked about this with Tom Sachs, how Tom Sachs had all of these activities that you could do to get yourself on a ranking that would put you toward the top of standings, that would give you the opportunity to buy the Mars Yard 3.0. And then they had secondary standings that you could get a consolation prize. And I thought, I don't know how many people actually want to go through some of that. I mean, obviously enough people want to because they want to get the shoe. And maybe that's what Nike is banking on. Maybe that's where they're basing some of this. I don't know. To me, I feel like I'm missing something with this. And that's why I want to hear from you, because just because I can't understand it, or just because I'm not tapped into what actual sneaker culture likes or wants, doesn't mean it's a bad idea. It's just like I said earlier about what makes a year in sneakers good or bad. I feel like it's subjective, but maybe there are objective measures that people apply to it that you can look at a given year and say, that's a good year, that's not a good year. With this particular model, with this game, Sneakers Code, what about it am I missing? What about it screams to you, that's exactly what sneaker culture wants? At the end of the day, what sneaker culture actually wants are the ability to get the shoes that they want. That's never going to happen in the most purest form, which means that there will be one shoe for every person who wants it during a given release. I had a friend recently who went out for, I think it was the Stranger Things Air Max Ones or one of the shoes that were in that pack, and it sold out immediately on the sneakers app, and he texted me and said, what the hell is up with the sneakers app? And I just said, basically, welcome to sneaker culture. You're never going to be able to get everything that you want because there's just not enough supply to go with the demand. No matter what you do with Sneakers Code, no matter what you do with making it a draw, it doesn't really matter. Sneakers will have mostly the most supply, but they're also going to have the highest demand. And I just don't know what something like Sneakers Code is going to do to battle that off. Because then what you're going to have is people who say, well, I went through all this and still didn't get what I want. Not only did they not get what they want, but they feel like they've wasted their time. I can waste my time online in a queue and not have to actually leave my physical location. But if I go through a bunch of activities and still don't get it, when Nike is trying to tell you that, oh, this is a new way that's going to make it feel a little bit easier to get shoes that you want, a more fun way to get shoes that you want, and then you don't end up getting it. I don't know how that's going to work. I don't know how that's going to land. All I know is that I'd be super pissed off if that were the case, because I wasted a lot of my time. And as a 42-year-old, near 43-year-old, time is precious and I don't want to waste any of it. At the end of all this, I want to hear from you. That's why I said Instagram at Matt Freights Creates, YouTube search at Matt Freights Creates. And if you're on Apple, Spotify, all that good stuff, make sure to leave some type of a review. And if you want to, in the review, let me know how you feel about this. That's great. I want to hear from you. I really do want to know and want to solicit feedback from people who are living this culture in a different way than I am, because I think it's really important to get and hear perspectives from all over the place. And that helps me further my journey through all this and be able to speak to things more educated and just kind of be tapped into what people actually feel. Again, maybe I look at a sneaker year and think, I think that was pretty damn good. And most people say, no, that was shit. And I want to know why that is. Most people might look at Sneakers Code and say, I think this is great. When I'm looking at it thinking, who is this for? I need to know, because there's obviously a possibility that I could miss something. I hope this finds everybody well, fam. I hope this finds everybody safe. And I will talk to you next time. This is Fire Footwear.